When we have people over, and a lot of Kyle's friends, like, they tend to cluster together and then get into arguments about, like, whether whether a hot dog is a sandwich or something like that. Like, that argument will go on for, like, hours. So I feel like that sort of personality likes this game a lot.
Howdy, friends. Craig here. This is a very unique episode for Tabletop Talk. I have three guests. All three of these guests are significant others and live with people in the hobby. And what I try to do here is really try to understand what it takes and what it's like to be in love and to live with somebody who's a tabletop gamer. So we talk about how to manage time, how to manage space. We talk about what is the personality of a gamer and how does that translate to real life? And all three of these people do a great job of really kind of giving us an understanding of what the other side is. Most of you guys and gals listening are tabletop gamers, and you might find it interesting to know how the people that are in relationships with you think about all of it. And there's some good advice at the end on how to be a better spouse and a better boyfriend and a better girlfriend to your non-gamer significant other. Enjoy.
Playing a tabletop strategy game allows you to unplug and test your skills against friends. Every week, Third Floor Wars delivers useful strategies, discussions, battle reports, and reviews to tabletop games like Malifaux. If you want to get better at the games you already play, or discover the games other people are playing, you are in the right place. Craig and Ray welcome you to the Third Floor and the Tabletop Talk broadcast.
Craig here on the Third Floor. This roundtable episode has a different focus than really any other episode we've done on the show. My three guests are all in relationships or married to both gamers and content creators. So my first guest is Paris King, and now you know her lesser half, Kyle Bodie. He puts out the Great Schemes and Stones podcast. So Paris, welcome to the Third Floor.
Thank you. Good to have you.
So Paris, I guess the first thing, do you yourself get it all into miniature gaming?
No, not at all. I'm not into gaming of any sort.
Oh, really? So you don't do board games or anything?
Rarely board games. Kyle tries to get me to get into that, but not really, no.
So it's really kind of two separate lanes for you and Kyle then, right? Kyle has his thing, you have your thing?
Yeah, definitely. It's
so. So what is your thing?
I'm into cooking and knitting, and there's actually a lot, it seems like there's a lot of overlap between the knitters and the gamers, at least among the people I know, but, yeah, I'm more into those sorts of things. Kyle, he specifically tries to find games that I would be into, but, I find that a lot of the games he thinks are not complicated, quote unquote, are, we sit down and I'm just like, I can't do this. So, I'd say we're pretty separate on that.
Yeah. And it's just, it's one of those things where it obviously you don't have a whole lot of interest in it. You know, you've got your own thing. And we're going to dig into a lot of that as we continue on. Now, my second guest is Alex Elizabeth. Now, Alex, your lesser half is Tom Panna. Tom puts out a great YouTube channel called TNG Productions. He's been on the podcast before. So, Alex, welcome back to the Third Floor.
Hi.
And I say welcome back because your other half had been on here before. But, Alex, how about you? Do you get caught up either in mini gaming or board gaming or anything else?
A little bit. I have played a few of the games that Tom does do on the channel. Guild Ball, which was kind of the one he did when we first started dating. I sort of did that because he would be recording and I would not know what he was actually talking about or a lot of what was being said. And so I said, you'll just have to sit me down and I'll play it. And so then I understand what you're doing when you're actually recording. So, I do like sort of puzzles and games and things, but sort of I don't do as much of the gaming stuff as Tom does now.
Right. And so your interest in doing it was more to understand what Tom was doing versus I really want to get into this?
to begin with, but then I've sort of, as I kind of played the first, I think The Walking Dead actually was the first one that I played, because I think going straight into Guild Ball would have been too heavy.
Yeah.
So I think just to kind of familiarize me and sort of baby steps, I did The Walking Dead and really, really loved that. And then was like, okay, well, let's see what the other ones are. And then I've done Wild West Exodus as well. I haven't touched.
Oh, wow.
I haven't touched Malifaux with a Barge Pole, because I think with that being newish to Tom as well, I think he needs to get familiar and then he can kind of lead me into it. But
yeah, and Malifaux is pretty intense. It takes a lot of time, effort to get into it. So yeah. Unless you really love it, I don't necessarily think spending your time there is good. So my third guest is somebody that I happen to know pretty well. It's my wife, Andrea. So Andrea, welcome to the third floor. Well, I guess not welcome to the third floor. You own half of it.
Maybe. I don't really touch the third floor a lot. But yeah, hi. How nice of you to have me.
So, Andrea, out of curiosity, is there anything that resonated with you on what either Paris or Alex were saying?
I don't touch games either. So, solidarity, sister. But not understanding what anyone is talking about is pretty much most of any sort of conversation we have about gaming, which is not often. I also love to cook. I've tried to knit. I don't have the patience for it. But good on you, because I think I've made a washcloth and I was like, whew, that is enough. I don't touch these games, and Craig knows this. I get really frustrated when I don't understand something fairly quickly. Which is a horrible trait and a terrible trait for a gaming person. So I don't carry that gene. I do believe our daughter does, though. I think she likes that stuff. So,
all right, guys. So really what I want to try to learn from these guys is try to give us a little bit of insight on what I think is a lot of the significant others out in the audience, because the people that listen to this podcast are gamers, and a good number of you have significant others. And what I was kind of hoping to do is give a little bit of insight. The idea behind this podcast was conversations that I've had with Andrea. Andrea and I have been married for well over a decade now. And, you know, one of the things that her and I work on in our relationship is finding the balance between this hobby, both as a gamer and as a content creator, and actually spending time with my family and my daughter, God forbid. And I just thought it was an interesting conversation, and I was really hoping to get some more people that are in that situation. And Alex and Paris were perfect, because not only are there significant others gamers, but they're also content creators. So I want to start off maybe with you, Paris. How did you, at what point in your relationship with Kyle, did you find out he was a gamer, or did you know that right from go?
Pretty much right from go. Yeah, I think that was like one of the first questions he asked me, was if I was into playing games, and I wasn't. So
the answer was no. Yeah.
But yeah, we met when I was in grad school and he was working in the college town we were at, and but pretty much all his friends are gamers too. So I discovered that pretty quickly.
And what was your first, was there any like hot take on the fact that he was a gamer? I mean, was that the first time that you had encountered the hobby through him, or were you familiar with, you know, this type of gaming?
My stepbrothers played video games. I mean, they played like Mario Kart and stuff, when we were growing up. But, I didn't know as much about like board gaming and that's the more intense games. So I would say that was, it was an introduction to me. I don't really know that I had like a strong reaction either way, but, whenever he's tried to like teach me playing games, I could find that any game that has a rule book that's like has to be bound by a spiral bound notebook, like that's not on an index card, it gets a little dicey for me. So, yeah, that's how it got started.
How about you, Alex?
I think because Tom and I met online, so we sort of had quite a lot of dates to begin with where we were just getting to know each other. So I think he did allude to the fact that he had a YouTube channel. but I just thought a tabletop game was just a really not fancy. I thought he was just trying to say they did like Snakes and Ladders sort of and games like that. I didn't realize that tabletop gaming is something that's a little bit different. So it was only sort of as we were further into dating that he started kind of to explain it. And then I spent more time at his flat and could actually see the setup where he does all the recording. Then that's when I kind of had a better understanding really that of what tabletop gaming was.
Yeah. So he was really your first exposure to the hobby itself.
Oh, then. God. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, no, I didn't even know that world existed.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And so he had already, not only had he obviously been a gamer when you guys met, but he was also obviously creating content at that point as well.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So how about you, Andrea?
Oh, we've grown into this together, haven't we? So when I met Craig, he was big into, it was Warhammer, right?
Yep.
So he's big into Warhammer, and he had shelves and shelves and shelves and shelves and shelves of teeny tiny little men. They were all just like super, some of them were like intricately painted, some of them weren't painted at all. And I didn't really know what to make of that. So I kind of asked, and that was like his really big thing. For me, I'd never heard of that. Board games are the only like tabletop games that had ever made sense to me, that and cards. He would explain it to me sort of like kind of like, well, you do this and you move around and it takes like 4.5 hours to play. And I was like, wow, you got a lot of time on your hands, man. But in that realm is kind of how I learned. And then we've been married for a really long time. So he always finds something new. Somebody said, you should start a podcast. And then that became the big obsession. So we have a full recording studio and I'm pretty sure some sort of video recording studio on our third floor. Like I said, I don't go up there that often. That is not my space. The rest of the house is my space. So that is kind of how it started and has grown and evolved. Is that Craig started with Warhammer, has like evolved into a bunch of different games. We have hundreds of board games. And then now it's Malifaux, which it's been for a few years now.
Yep.
And then he started, like, he doesn't have enough to do. So he was like, I'm going to start a podcast and I'm going to start a YouTube channel. Also, you didn't ask me what my thing was. Maybe people want to know.
Well, what is your thing, Andrea?
We have a 6-year-old. That's my thing. There, that's it.
Well, you talked about how you had tried knitting and stuff when you had the conversation with Paris, but yes, you're right.
I did try.
Okay. So out of curiosity, and this is really, you know, for the three of you, what do you think, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. Did you at any point during, you know, as your relationships developed, did you find yourself competing with a hobby at any point in time where your time and attention in the for the relationship was competing with a hobby? And I'm going to start with Andrea on that one. Andrea, at any point during our dating and our marriage, have you felt that you were in competition with my other interests?
Yeah. And we've talked about that before for sure. It's a lot. It is. So on top of this, right. And then the games, and the YouTube channel, and we both have full-time jobs, right. So we both work, a lot. Craig works a lot, which I know some people probably don't realize, but he works 10, 12 hour days. Sometimes he has to get up at 2:30 in the morning to take phone calls, from overseas. So it's a lot. So I've definitely felt that way. And on top of that, Craig runs tournaments and does like gaming once a week. So it's a very difficult, and I have nothing, but I don't really have a hobby. So it's a very difficult balance for me to have to say, like, we can't, you know, like, no, you can't, no, you can't go gaming today because I haven't seen you in 2 weeks. And it'd just be nice, like, to hang out maybe for like a minute. And we have really full, you know, we both have like really full schedules and really full lives. And I understand that for Craig, it's very important to kind of keep that portion of his brain going. So making sure that he's able to be creative and calming, and he works from home, so he doesn't get to talk to a lot of people. So it's probably good for him to go talk to other people. So it's definitely a struggle.
How about for you, Alex? Have you ever found that there was trouble balancing that?
I think the thing that I struggled with to begin with was that if Tom was recording, the amount of time it would take and that I wouldn't hear from him. So when you sort of first start dating, you want to message all the time. And sometimes I'd find I'd message and then it'd be hours and hours and hours and hours until I'd hear back. And me and my brain would suddenly be like, oh my God, he's not interested anymore. But actually, no, what he was just doing was he was just recording a game of Guild Ball for hours and hours and hours. And to him, that was nothing. But to me, it was like, oh, well, there was no point in that time when you could have just picked up your phone and messaged me back. But now, obviously, having actually seen the process, I get no, because it's recorded. And when he first started recording Malifaux, the first time that was done, it took a whole day. And I'm used to sort of it being maybe 4 hours, you know. But this was like 11 o'clock in the morning till like 6 o'clock in the evening. And when I don't talk to people a lot, I go very quiet in myself. And then sort of, so when Tom's done and he's bouncing from sort of recording, I'm very much like, okay. And it's hard not to come across as if I'm mad at him for using the whole day. And I'm not. It's just that sort of like, I understand now that it takes a lot of time. And then once I'm aware of that, I'm absolutely fine. But I think it's a very time consuming hobby because it's kind of like a second job in a way, and they've got to dedicate the time to it. So now that I've been with him long enough, and I know it doesn't really bother me at all anymore. But to begin with, sort of having to understand that sometimes he can't talk to me or he's not able to, and it's not that he's not interested in me or anything. It's literally just that's just what it requires. But yeah.
Does any of that resonate with you, Paris?
Yeah, I think one of the, definitely one of the things I've learned is Kyle's usually pretty on time with most things, but whenever he says he has a tournament or he has a game, he's off by like 1 to 2 hours. Like he'll say he'll be back at 2 and then he's back at like 5:30.
100%.
Yeah. I've kind of gotten used to it. So I work 8 to 5 Monday through Friday in normal hours, most of the time. And he works a second shift at a TV station. So, before a couple of months ago, he just had Thursdays and Fridays off. And then Sunday mornings, he goes gaming with his friends. So pretty much Friday nights were the only times we had available. And sometimes that gets tricky with his podcast, with recording, because there are people overseas and like trying to get trying to schedule the right time to meet with people can be kind of tricky. There's the amount of time, and then trying to schedule time for podcast interviews can be hard to find time to spend together sometimes.
Everyone's much nicer than I am.
How so, Andrew?
I just feel I'm like, yeah, no, sometimes I never see him. And like, yeah, the tournament thing is true too, because there's a lot of times where it's like, the tournament starts at 8, so I'm going to leave here at like 7. All right, well, whatever, that's fine. And he's like, I should be back like maybe around like 3 or so. And then at 7:30, I'm like, hi, coming home? Or what are we doing? And a lot of times it's like, well, I have to like help clean up. No, you don't. Why? Why? You know what? I can use help cleaning up because I've been entertaining our kid all day and making sure our dog doesn't eat all of her stuff. And like, maybe you should just come home or like, let me know that he's coming home 4.5 hours later.
So guys, what I want to do is I want to take a quick break. When we get back from this break, I kind of want to dig into this a little bit more. And I want to kind of learn how each of these people have kind of managed, not only the fact that these hobbies and creating content takes up a lot of time, but also managing the amount of space it takes up as well. So we'll be right back. Howdy, friends. Here on the third floor, you'll find us playing Malifaux and other games on Mats by Mars. They are scratch-resistant, waterproof, wet erase marker compatible, and lighter than neoprene. Mats by Mars gives you over 40 designs to choose from. Pick a mat size, pick a design, then choose an overlay like the one for Marvel Crisis Protocol or Malifaux 3rd Edition. It will speed up deployment and the placement of strategy and objective markers. If you're going to Adepticon this year, be sure to check out the Mats by Mars booth. Until the end of March 2020, you can use the new promo code THIRDFLOOR320, that's THIRDFLOOR320, to get a 10% discount on your next order. In the notes, you can ask for the third floor logo to be put on your mat for free. Again, use the promo code THIRDFLOOR320 to get a 10% discount. Details are in the show notes.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Howdy friends, Craig here. Nothing makes Malifaux easier than having the right tools. Here at the third floor, we love all the licensed Malifaux goodies from Custom Meeple. Not only are they helping support this podcast, they sell custom-made weird licensed tokens and terrain. They sell it all. Crew boxes, terrain, markers, tokens, and even a 3x3 full Malifaux board. Custom Meeple sells a complete M3E token set covering every marker and token you need to play. Custom Meeple are the source for the official accessories for Malifaux. Everything is designed by hand and authorized by Weird Games. Check them out at CustomMeeple.com, that's with one M, or follow the link in the show notes. Up your Malifaux game and be sure to tell them Craig from the third floor sent you. If you use the promo code THIRDFLOORFRIEND, all one word, THIRDFLOORFRIEND, you'll get a 5% discount and help support the podcast. It's valid on everything except retail products and playmats. So really one of the ideas that we kind of left with before the break is, you know, kind of managing or the challenges of time. And when somebody is filming, recording a podcast, playing a game, painting miniatures, all of that takes up not only a ton of time, but a ton of space. So Alex, I'd be curious to know, you know, how do you guys manage, you know, both time and the space that this hobby and content creation takes up?
Well, I mean, when we decided to move in together, to buy a house together, we knew straight away that we needed a room for Tom's gaming, because obviously he does sort of the recording for the channel and all the editing. And so, that was like a major factor in the house buying decision, how big a house we got. So I think So I think your third floor is a lot like the study. It's a part of the house that I don't venture much into, part to sort of just pop in and speak to him when I need to. But no, it is filled with, like you said, boxes and boxes and boxes of teeny tiny little miniatures of all sorts of different games, games that I've seen him play, games that I haven't seen him play. Games that I'm sure he will play someday.
like figurines he'll paint one day.
Yeah, just in case. Mm-hmm. So But he is good at sort of keeping it in that room. My stuff sort of kind of spreads out to whatever surface there is, whereas he is quite good at having a room that is specifically for that stuff and kind of keeping it in there, and he keeps it quite tidy as well, which is always good.
Oh, aren't you lucky? Because so we did the same, right, in buying our house. Just getting to the point where we could buy a house is a big deal. But when we started looking for, we looked at like so many houses, and I was like, hey, you could have like your office in here. That could be cool. And you could take a room for gaming. And he was like, no, I don't think that could work, and blah, blah, blah. And so when we finally saw this house, and the third floor is the entire footprint of our home, which is pretty decent size. And I saw it first, because it's ironically right down the street from where I used to work. And I walked in with our realtor, whose name was Harv, which could not be more appropriate. I saw it, and I was like, no, this looks really nice. And he's like, there's a bonus space. And we went upstairs, and I was like, well, we're going to buy this house. We're not even going to pretend like we're not. I'm going to take one look at this and be like, we will make this happen. And we did. And I feel, I'm impressed that you can get everything kept to one room. Because never mind how much space is up there, things start to migrate downstairs, I think, quite a bit. Like painting stuff or shipments, guys, Amazon to our house. And game stuff and stuff from China and stuff from Scotland, and all the time is like all over my dining room table right now. Although you did clean it off a little bit, which I appreciate. Love to see the bottom of it one day, but ooh, we're so close. But yeah, that's the whole reason we have this house, is that floor. And it is full, like so full that I think I said to Craig the other day, I was like, look, you all does storage. So we should consider maybe moving some stuff that you have up there. And I haven't told you this. Well, I think I mentioned this to you, Craig, but I was looking at a professional organizer the other day. Cause I was like, I wonder if I get this for Craig for like 5 hours, have him come up and help organize that space up there, because it's pretty it's a lot. There's a lot up there. There's a lot going on. It's very difficult to walk up there. Our dog is definitely not allowed up there. So it's one room. You've got like 4 rooms.
You have a floor.
Yeah. He has a full floor, and yeah. It's a big, how many square feet you think that is?
About 700 square feet.
Yeah. So he's basically got an apartment. And so the other day he was like, I wish you put like a bathroom up here. No, then I would never see it. That's so stupid. I would never see you.
Bathroom and a kitchen.
Right. And that, yeah, he's like, we should like finish it out. And I was like, oh, there's so many other things that need to happen in my space. So we're going to wait on that for sure. We do need, that one thing we do need to do is insulate the upstairs, because it's the reason that my room is freezing cold. But, and it is cold up there, or hot, depending on the season, obviously. But yeah.
Paris, how often does it invade your space, or how do you guys manage all of that?
I think we're still working it out. Hearing that you considered the gaming hobby before you moved in sounds like we probably should have done that a little more. Before we bought this house in October of 2018, and before that we were in a 2-bedroom apartment. And with that 2-bedroom, like, Kyle had 1 bedroom that was just all his stuff. And that worked pretty well, because he kept it pretty contained. But with this house, I feel like we're still negotiating the space, because he has this whole room that I'm in right now with the board games behind me. And then we also have a sleeping porch, which is like a covered porch. Our house is really old. We have a covered porch in the back that's like a really nice space that I thought like I would get to go out there and I could sit and have breakfast. And then like almost immediately when we moved in, he just took it over, because that's where he puts out like games for when his friends come over and plays there. And I'm like, well, I would like some of this space. Like, this is a really nice room. So I put in some shelves, and I'm like kind of trying to say like, okay, I can have like this half, and I'm trying to work that out. But yeah, it's a little tough. And our house really only has one closet. And
oh,
we moved
no.
in Yeah. We moved in on a Saturday night, and the next morning I had to get up to go to on a flight for work. And when I came back, it's all board games, like the one closet. There's no space for me or anything else in there. So yeah, I've been trying to chip away at that a little bit more, but I think I've learned that if we move again, I'm going to have to mark off my space before he gets to it. So
you need a third floor.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's definitely a struggle still.
So it sounds like Paris, you know, to a certain degree, Andrea and Alex, it sounds like you guys have kind of figured some of it out, especially from a space issue, whereas Paris is in the process of fighting the good fight. What kind of advice would you give Paris in that process?
Say move, but you don't have to move.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem very fair. I think marking off your territory is really smart. I think it's also, and at least with Craig, who has a tendency, like, he gets really into something. Like, I'm surprised Malifaux lasted as long as it has. He gets really, really into something, and he'll be, like, just, gung-ho, balls to the wall for, like, 6 months. And then, like, something shiny walks by, and he's like, ah, shiny! And then that's the thing for 6 months. So we end up with a lot of extra that he's just not interested anymore, he doesn't care about anymore. So I would say, like, purge, like, encourage him to purge as much as possible. And, like, I say this and take my advice with a grain of salt, because I cannot tell you. I'm about to make him turn his computer around so he can show you how much stuff he has that hasn't been opened, that's still shrink-wrapped, that, like, he'll never – I was like, if you live 16 lifetimes and all you do is paint, you will not reach a third of the things that you have. Cause it's just, I mean, it's just the, you know, it's like the law of diminishing returns. Like, you literally can't do it. So I would highly recommend purging and get, and like his, like this, if you have one closet, we need a new closet. We need to build a closet. We need to get rid of a bathroom. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That would be,
it should be a one in, one out. You get a new game, you give up a new game. And I tell you, Kickstarters, I feel like gamers, they'll see something, it's a Kickstarter, and they'll support the Kickstarter. And so even though the game doesn't exist in your existence at this moment in time, you know, yes, in 6 months' time that a game will appear. And it's great that they're supporting new games and everything, but then unless, because like sometimes you have games that not a lot of people play, and unless you have people within the community that play it, then you can't really play it. So Tom's got a game called Aristea, which he loves, but it's only recently that he's kind of met someone that can play that game. So that game was kind of sitting there on the shelf for a while. So it's like you said, that shiny, there's always something new. So it's kind of like when you think that's it, it won't be, because then there'll be something else.
Never. Yeah. If we did one in, one out, that would have been, I'm sorry to interrupt. If we had done one in, one out, I think that would have worked really well. The problem is Craig works from home and I don't. And so when Amazon comes or the Kickstarter, you know, like when that comes finally, like, I don't know. I don't know. We have something coming in. But we would have had to have gotten so many. I mean, when we started, it was at like an incredible rate, but the Kickstarter thing, oh my God, that's so true. And that's true. God bless Craig for everything. He's like, there's these new cutters on Kickstarter that I found, and I think they're really great. And there's a new lamp on Kickstarter and I was like, can we stop? I love that. I love that there's innovation and that people support that. And I think that's great. I feel like we support a lot of Kickstarters, a lot. And there's some that I'm sure there's so many that we haven't even gotten yet. So good call. Sorry, Paris.
Yeah, the surprise ones where something will show up and be like, oh yeah, I supported this like 2 years ago and forgot about it. Yeah, for sure. I grew up in a household where like I grew up with my mom and my grandparents, and like my grandmother was like kind of almost fanatical about clearing stuff out. So I guess I kind of have some of that too. It's like if something hasn't been used for like 3 years, then I think, oh, we got to get rid of it. Whereas like Kyle, I find like once there's a game in the house, it's like really hard for him to get rid of. And then there's a lot of stuff like, oh, I should probably sell that he's thinking about selling for like 5 years and that we've moved with twice. So yeah, I mean, just stuff that's just like there that you're never going to play. Like, yeah, getting them to clear up some of that, because each of the board games are take up a lot of space. Yeah, that's kind of tough. So I'm still working that one out. Sure.
That it's so funny you say that, because we have, Craig, if you had to do a conservative estimate of how many board games are on your third floor right now in that on that baker's rack, how many would you say there are?
7, 8, maybe.
Lies. 70, maybe.
Oh, I wish it was 70. To be perfectly honest, I probably own over 250 board games.
Wow.
Yeah. Ask me the last time we played a board game.
Well, some of them do get played. A lot of them gets played at the camping trips and stuff like that. But no, there was before I found Malifaux, there was a year and a half that I was really into board games. And so that's where I accumulated a lot of those. I was not imposed with a one in, one out, which was nice for me, but I'm sure frustrating for my wife. One quick question, and Andrea, I'll start with you. So I want to get into a little bit of advice as far as managing time and managing space. And who we're talking to right now is the other side of you guys, right? So again, we're talking to men and women who are gamers, who might have significant others that aren't. What advice would you give somebody like me? As far as, you know, how to be better about managing time and space to, make it less of an issue potentially in the relationship itself.
Oh, are we going to devolve into like a couple therapy moments?
yeah, sure.
I would say communicate often and out loud and more than once. And a calendar, which we have, doesn't necessarily do it. For instance, Craig, before Christmas, and we took our kid to Disney World in January, which was really close together. He spent just like all this time recording and having people over and doing live casts and editing. And I think that's the other thing that people don't think of. It's like, yeah, you record. Oh, it takes like an hour and a half or whatever. But then there's all the editing time that goes into that. And then there's the, obviously, you know, we had a 40-minute delay trying to figure out, you know, get my sound and why it doesn't work. And it's so much kind of just unthought of time. But Craig was logging a lot of hours because he was trying to put together a ton of content, so he didn't have to worry, right, over Christmas or New Year's or while we were gone for our daughter's birthday or any of that. So, but I didn't know that, right? So I was like, I haven't seen you in 3.5 weeks. And so, no, I don't want you to go gaming. Which makes me feel like a bad person because I'm saying no. And that's just a whole other therapy lane we can go down later. And he said, he's like, well, I'm trying to like get a lot of stuff into the can so I don't have to do it later. But I didn't know that. So I think it's like a lot of communication. I think it's a lot of understanding that your partner wants to see you and wants to spend time with you and doesn't want to talk about gaming because it's either something they're not interested or they don't care about, and maybe ask them about stuff they care about every once in a while. I think the biggest, and I think it's hard too, right? Because in your head, it just makes sense. Like, well, I'm going to do this, and like, there's nothing on our calendar is quote unquote open. But we don't book family dinners or outings or any of that stuff. So I think it's understanding that like open free time isn't always free time. And then just being really clear about how much time you're going to be spending, knowing like if it's like, I know if Craig goes on a tournament, which I think he has in the next week or so, a couple weeks, like I just plan for him to be gone all day. I know you're going to be gone in the morning. I know you're probably not going to be back until after the sun comes down. I know that like I'll probably be putting our kid to bed, all that stuff. And sometimes he comes home a lot earlier and it's a surprise and shock, but it's just that planning and understanding. And then having the conversation of like what's kind of happening.
Yeah, I think communication is definitely key. I have to say I'm quite lucky with Tom in the sense of, and I don't know whether it's because of our jobs, we're both teachers, so we get sort of 1-2 weeks off every now and then. And Tom is very good at making sure that if you say has, because our holidays don't always match up, So say if he's off a week before me and I'm at work, he will try his best to make sure that he does any recording he needs to do in that week, so that we are a little bit like you said about Christmas time, so that when we do have the time off together, it's not being taken up with gaming things. But yeah, I think people sometimes don't see, like you said, the other stuff. There's the recording of the game, but then the editing does take up a lot of time as well. And Tom will spend, you know, most evenings in the week, sort of, if he's not doing schoolwork, it'll be editing videos or creating content. And what I do understand is that because of the nature of the YouTube channel, he has to have constant content. Right. So he's always got to have something in the bag, you know, so like that game's going out this week and they've got the Patreon this week. And then, so that will come up that week. And I know he's always feels the most content when he knows he's got enough videos, but then sometimes he'll have like a dry spell where he can't always get people to record. And then sometimes that's when the recording escalates and there's a lot more going on and I don't see him as much. But I am aware sort of like that, you know, you have to have stuff all the time prepared and in the bag to go onto YouTube. I think it's just sort of, you need to sort of just be aware that it's not that we don't want you to do these things. We don't want you to not enjoy your hobby. Of course we do. It's your hobby. It's just that sort of, you know, we want to spend time with you. And, you know, it comes from a complete place of love when we're sort of like, oh, well, you know, okay, are you right? Okay, you're recording. Okay. And it's not, we're not like, I don't ever try and be funny because I'm mad at him. It's not that. It's just a case of like, oh, well, I thought we could sit and watch a film or something. But if he's got stuff to do, he's got stuff to do. But no, he is very good at sort of, you know, telling me ahead of time as well. He'll never just sort of spring it on me that he's going to be recording with someone. He will always kind of be like, well, I was thinking maybe at this point in the future, we'll have that. And he'll always ask me if it's okay. And I always will say yes, because I'm not going to be, you don't want to be that kind of person who's like,
right,
oh, no, you can't do that. Like, because again, it's his hobby and it's what he loves doing and stuff. But no, communication and prior knowledge that something is going ahead is always good.
I think that's a good point too, Alex, about the Patreon, because I know Craig has one set up, which is really important to him. And he's like really invested in his patrons, right? Because it means a lot to him. I think that people are willing to support this hobby. I am very thankful because it really helps us and our bottom line, because all of that, and I can say this with 100% accuracy, all of that goes into all of his gamings and all of his hobby. I think too, as people, as you know, smaller gaming places or the map places call, you know, for sponsorships, and they want him to do unboxing, and they want, you know, that adds all that adds more time. And again, like when it comes to sponsors and when it comes to patrons, that's going to be really, really important, right? To get that done, to get that in. If they call and say, you know, we've got a new game coming out or a new expansion coming out, we want you to talk about it. We want you to film it. We want you to do it. I mean, and that has to be done in like a certain window of time. And so it's understanding. And I get all, you know, I mean, I get all that to the extent of like, I don't have patrons or sponsors or anything, but as far as from like an obligation, like to your fans and to your sponsors to do things. But again, that's like another piece, right? It's not just the playing. It's not just the recording. It's not just the filming. It's, you know, when it comes to patrons, when it comes to sponsors, it's really important too to keep that relationship going. So they're managing a lot of relationships within the hobby.
Paris, one of the things that I heard from both Andrea and heard both from Matt and from Alex as well is it's tricky saying no. So, you know, I often will ask Andrea, hey, can I go to this tournament at the end of the month? Or, you know, is it okay if I have, you know, five people over and we're going to take over the entire third floor for a day and a half to do some recording? And, you know, I know that Andrea struggles saying no because she doesn't, quote unquote, want to be that wife. And Alex, you kind of alluded to it too, that, you know, that it's tough saying no. Do you have a challenge pushing back, Paris, sometimes?
I don't think we've really run into that many situations where I have to say no, honestly. I mean, as long as you know about it in advance. And yeah, I think what was said before is really true. Like just the pre-planning and you like you have to sometimes schedule your time together and have that as a block. Because I find that like if we have our time and then just everything around that will get filled up with games, that works really well. But it's if you're sort of expecting maybe to spend time together, but you don't have anything like defined on the calendar, that then that can get filled up with other things. So I guess I haven't really run into that situation too much where there's a conflict. And part of that's because we work sort of opposite schedules too, because he works in the evening, so he can do whatever he needs to do during the day and I wouldn't be around anyway.
That's nice.
Yeah, I would imagine, Paris, it's in a weird way that helps, right? Because he's able to fill the non-overlap time and maybe be more focused during the time where you guys are, those few times it sounds like where you guys aren't working.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess we're talking about like the time it takes to edit. I think one of the things I learned at the beginning of this was like, to me, the editing is like all a part of the hobby. And like, that's like your fun time. But I mean, to Kyle, he likes interviewing people. He likes playing, but the editing to him is like work. And I'm like, well, that's not work. That's like your choice. You didn't like have to do that. But for him, it's like, oh, I spent all day and I didn't get to do anything I wanted to do. So yeah, just like knowing that to him, that's a job. But to me, I'm like, well, you had plenty of time. You could have like done dishes or, you know, helped out around the house. And so, yeah, we have kind of different perspectives on that for sure.
That's so funny because it's true. Because editing is not, I mean, I can only imagine, but editing is not fun, right? It's not the, it's not the best part. Now, Craig gets really excited because he taught himself editing software and how to edit and he got all this. So like, he loves that part. And I feel like every day is a little bit of a, I don't say every day, but every episode is a little bit of a competition with himself as to how good he can get it to edit, how good he can edit from like the last episode. Which is,
that's nice.
And that's just how he is. But it's true that they're like, well, that's not the fun part. Like the editing isn't fun. Like, I don't want to do the editing. It's like, but you wanted to do the podcast. You have to do, you know, like you can't just pick one without the other. So that's interesting that he doesn't see it. He's like, but that's not, I don't like doing that. Like I have to do that.
Right.
Funny. Tom used to be like that, but with painting, because if you knew that he had planned to record a match and he had, say, a new guild that needed painting, he would always sort of be like, oh, I've got to get these models painted. So he'd have to lock himself away and get the models painted. He's got these contrast paints now, which make everything 50 million times easier. So he actually likes painting and does painting content for the channel. But I think sort of a bit like the editing, there's always elements to the hobby that you don't like. It's a little bit like teaching. I love teaching. I hate marking. And I think the editing is a lot like the marking.
Yeah.
It's something that you have to do to get the product, but it's not the exciting part. And I get very, I don't know about you. I mean, I don't know if I'm going off a little bit, but I get a little bit protective because Tom will tell me about comments and feedback that they get on certain games or recordings. And sometimes I think that the comments that people give, they don't realize that how much time and effort has actually gone into the process. And it's not just the 1 hour that they see on the screen that they go, oh, you made that mistake at such and such a thing. You need to do this next time. And I think I find as his fiance sort of a bit like, well, don't they know that you've spent like 7 hours recording and then 3 or 4 hours editing and doing all the thumbnails and stuff. And I think sometimes people don't realize that kind of like a throwaway comment is a bit like a shot to the heart to all the work they've done and all that time that it has taken that time you've not had with them either. I don't know whether that's just me, but I just get a little bit overprotective over it when people are a bit negative after you've put so much work into it.
Craig, do you get comments? I mean, it's funny because like I never read comments because I've learned that.
Yeah. How do I put this?
You never get negative comments and everyone loves you.
That's right. it may have been a conscious choice on my part to shield that type of commentary that Tom's talking about and what you talked about, Alex, from my wife. because my wife can be very protective. And to use your phrase, she can take the hoop earrings out real fast.
Yeah.
So I think, now I'm very lucky because, and you know, I do understand what you're talking about though. For me, it's balanced out by just the sheer amount of kindness and love that we get both about the YouTube channel and about the content. But what sucks is that you can get 50 just positive emails and positive comments in Facebook and stuff like that. Then you get one and it's just like, you know, son of a gun. And to your point, Alex, you know, it's like, I worked really hard on this, you jerk, you know? But I think it's good that my wife does not get involved with that because, I think like you, Alex, she would be very protective. Of me. She can mama bear real fast. I am a lot like Tom where I can be thin skinned's not the right word, but thin skinned. Where, you know, like I said, the ratio of 50 to one, you suddenly forget about all the 50 nice things. Paris, how often, does the feedback Kyle gets or doesn't get become an issue?
I guess I'm not that exposed to it. I just see him like look at his phone and then do this. When he's reading one of those, and I know he's talked about like the people that are just around to point out like the one thing that got wrong or the one typo, or like they just hang out online just to point things out like that and just like nitpick. That's really most of my exposure to that. I mean, those people are online everywhere, so we haven't really talked about it beyond that, and I think that's the part that sucks too.
So guys, let's take another break. When we get back from this break, I actually want to dig a little bit deeper into who games and what kind of people are gamers, and what is it like to have a relationship with that type of person and that type of personality. So we're going to do a little bit more completely unqualified psychological analysis.
I'm very qualified. I don't know
what you're on gamers and having to be in a relationship with one. So we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm James Hahn, and I'm a patron of Third Floor Wars because I'm a henchman who loses most of his games, and the podcast has tons of valuable information to improve your play as well as what to expect from other crews. You can support them too. The link is in the show notes, or just search for Third Floor Wars on Patreon.com.
Big thanks to all of you patrons out there. We appreciate the fact that you find value in what we are producing. I need to give a quick shout out to some of our lifetime long top patrons. So hats off to Nick Westbrook, Kevin Smith, Sam Newman, Stephen Morris, Craig Chuba, James Hahn, Jeremy Peace, Ambrose Ingram, and Brandon Somer. You guys are the ones that have really done the most for Third Floor Wars' Patreon, and we appreciate it. Howdy folks, Craig here. Now if you love gadgets as much as we do, you're going to love the new Third Floor Wars gadget bundle from Schooner Labs. Branded with the logo of your favorite podcast, it comes with two measuring multi-tools, a compass stepper for those tight and important movements, along with a compact dashboard to track your turn, strat, and scheme scoring along with your soul stones and pass tokens. It is the perfect bundle for anyone who plays Malifaux or just wants to look cool while doing it. The link is in the show notes. Check them out and help support your favorite gaming podcast. So miniature gaming is a pretty unique hobby. It's not like woodworking or a lot of other hobbies. It is truly unique. And there's kind of two things I want to talk about here in this last segment. One, I want to talk about kind of how do you explain what your boyfriend, husband, fiance does to other people. And I also want to talk about, because you obviously are in a relationship with a person who games and a lot of their friends are gamers. I want to talk a little bit about kind of what do you think is the psychology of that? What type of person do you think is drawn to that? And what are some things that you being someone who's in a relationship with it that you have to be aware of? Andrea, let's start with you. You know, when you meet new people at work, or you're going to be bringing people over to the house, friends, new friends, or, you know, the first time the subject came up with mom and dad. How do you explain what I do to other people?
So my favorite is when we had to explain that to my mom and dad, because he, so when Craig and I met, I was living in New York City and Craig was living in my old hometown in South Florida. Because we like to keep things as easy and uncomplicated as possible. I would stay, I would fly home, I would see my mom and dad, and I would stay with Craig. And so he had everyone over to the house one day, including like all of my really good friends, which was really nice because that was, he was all about impressing them, which I was really thankful for. But he had a whole room, not a third floor, but a whole room. And there was just like shelves from literally floor to ceiling, and they were all filled with miniatures. Out of the box, like at each like individual miniature was placed, on the shelf, which I don't know how he has any patience to do that, but he did. And so my parents had come in and had noticed that. And my mom's like, so we're Latin. And my mom said, what's with the muñequitos? The tiny, there's tiny little toys, tiny little dolls. What's with the tiny little dolls? And so that's what she still calls all of his gaming, right? All of the gaming, the podcast, the YouTube channel. She's like, oh, it's muñequitos. Yes. That's just now the kind of blanket term for Craig's gaming. And I remember saying, I'm like, so he plays like, he plays a game like on a table and he paints these. And then it's like a strategy game and it's just like a completely glazed over face, which I don't blame him. I'm sure I had the same face. But that has kind of evolved into, I try to keep it really short and sweet. So I always use Risk as an example, because I feel like a lot of people have heard of Risk. I've frankly never played it, but because it takes hours. But the reason I say it is because it takes hours and hours to play. And you have to move stuff kind of around a board. And then I'm like, it's that on steroids times 1,000 is usually how I like to explain it. And then for a lot of people too, it can be very easy, like kind of a very surface, just like, it's like tabletop gaming. I'll say like, it's like tabletop gaming, and sometimes people are like, okay, cause they don't care. Or they don't see, right. Cause they don't go up to the third floor cause they don't, you know, need to do that in our house. A lot of times when Craig comes home from a tournament or from a game that he plays, he has huge, and this I'm sure is the same for you guys. Just like buckets of just like he leaves, like he's moving out of the house, right? Like there's a thing that like goes over the shoulder that looks like it holds poster board. I don't really know. I don't know what it is.
This stuff right here.
Yeah, like the big, yeah, like
that, exactly, yeah. That. Like, and it has handles and he carries it out. And it takes him like 2 hours to load the car wherever he's going. And so sometimes it stays downstairs. Does not for long, because I will pick them up and put them right at the base of the staircase because I'm like, that doesn't belong here. But a lot of times people will see that and be like, what is all that? And I'll be like, oh, that's all of this gaming stuff. And people are just like, that's a lot. It is. That's why there's a whole floor and not in my house. And that's usually, that's kind of the explanation I try to give. I won't lie. Sometimes I say it was an eye roll. Like, it's gaming. It's, you don't want to know. Like, it's a lot of explanations and stuff. But what I do find too is that if people, I'll be like, oh, he has a YouTube channel. People are like, oh, I want to look at it. Like, his sister was here and he was upstairs recording. He was doing a live stream and he's like, she said, oh, I want to like watch, you know, I want to see it. She's like, do you ever watch it? And I'm like, I live here. I don't need to watch it. I live here. I'm out all the time. So that's kind of how, you know, but she really got a big kick out of looking at it and seeing it, and it helps give her a little, kind of sense of what it's like. And then a lot of times people ask, I'm like, you can see it for yourself. Like, there's a YouTube channel, like go right ahead. And I hope anybody that I've sent to the YouTube channel didn't leave any negative comments, because I will cut them. Well, you asked, sir. So that's what you get. I don't even know if I answered that question.
You know, I think you did. Okay. I think you did. How about you, Alex? I mean, how do you explain it to your family, to friends that are, you know, not familiar with it?
I think my family, I kind of explained it in the sense, because we'd met and this was the guy I was dating, and I was sort of telling them about him. And I think the game I went with to kind of explain it was The Walking Dead, because I think the logic behind playing that is that you've got you and then you've got the zombies and there are tasks you have to do. And I was like, and it's like little models and you have to kind of get from this point to that bit, but there's things your character can't do. And yeah, it's really not easy to, it's not easy to explain. And what makes it more difficult is the character profiles. On what, like, because each character has a card, and that card has like this set of rules, and then on this bottom half of the card is like another set of rules, and then on the back of the card is like another set of rules, and like, so trying to explain that, like, I've told my friends about it. My friends asked about it because being the sort of new doting girlfriend when we first started dating, I would share things and on Facebook from his YouTube channel, and I would watch everything on his YouTube channel.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah, no, I don't anymore. I don't anymore.
Oh my God, you are like the best girlfriend ever. Honey, you should marry Alex, honestly.
He is. This July, he is.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. So like my friends kept seeing all this like stuff that I just kept sharing. They were like, okay, what is this? And I was like, oh, he's got a YouTube channel and he does like games, and it's tabletop games. So it's like you have little models and you sort of move them around, and you know, and there's different types of games you can play. But yeah, it's not an easy one to explain, really, because there's, you kind of want to do it justice in a way. And I think the only way you could do it justice is that you go into a lot of detail. But then I think by the time you've gone into so much detail, your friends are a bit like, huh? So you just kind of go, yeah. My mum and dad, bless them, are, because they absolutely adore Tom. So they're always like, how's the channel going? How's he doing? Is he doing? Is any contest coming up? So they're quite supportive in that sense. Although my mum did think that Gilball was called Gay Ball at one point, because she just hadn't heard me explain it properly. So she was telling my brother was like, what is this game that Tom is playing? And I was like, why? And he was like, because mum has called it Gay Ball. And I was like, no,
not that.
I was like, it's Guild Ball. But that's my mother. But no, I mean, it's kind of like, it's a hard one to explain. I think you just have to say it's basically you have miniatures and you have aims and goals that you have to achieve, and you just move them around the board. And yeah, it's like I said, there's so much to it that it's hard to describe in simple terms. But if your friends aren't familiar with it at all, then they won't really get it. Just
yeah, I think I should steal that explanation, because for the most part, I'm just like, oh, it's a tabletop game, and I can't really explain it that much better because I don't understand it that well either. And then most of my family plays like Scrabble, so they don't really have a frame of reference to understand that stuff. I think Kyle, if he wants to explain it more, he can do it better than I can. But yeah, I haven't really tried to make that much of an effort to explain it to people. So I'm not the best.
It sounds like you try to end the conversation as quick as possible and move on.
Well, yeah. And most people are like, oh, okay, that's the game. Like, yeah, they're not that curious either. So, yeah.
So, Paris, let's start with you, but obviously I'm anxious to hear Andrea and Alex. So you're exposed, obviously, to a lot of gamers, by the nature of the person, that you spend a good bit of your time with. I'd be curious to know what insights you have as far as, is there some commonalities in the type of person that you think are attracted to this game? And with that, are there things that you have noticed that gamers have as traits that not only you think, you know, attracts them to the game, but you have found as being traits that possibly have made them better at things outside of gaming? So let's start with the first part, though. Like, is there something that you have picked up on in the time that you've been exposed to this, both with Kyle and with Kyle's friends and stuff that you've been encountered? What type of person do you think is attracted to this hobby?
I think the type of person who can get kind of obsessive about things. I don't, you can't play a game for, you know, 5 hours, 6 hours at a time without really being able to be kind of obsessed with something and really get into the intricacies. When we have people over, and a lot of Kyle's friends, like, they tend to cluster together and then get into arguments about like whether a like where their hot dog is a sandwich or something like that. Like that argument will go on for like hours. So I feel like that sort of personality likes this game a lot. One thing I definitely like about Kyle and gamers in general is like you give them the game and they're happy. Like they're not, you know, running around the house knocking things over. Like they pretty much are very simple in that way. And that's a good thing. I guess my interaction with the people that Kyle brings over is pretty, I mean, they're just like out on the sleeping porch playing games and I never see or hear from them. So I don't really interact all that much to give you more detail than that.
Well, so Paris, kind of the focus and obsession piece, mm-hmm. obviously, you know, Kyle, I mean, he's been doing the podcast for a lot longer than I've been doing my podcast. He's been playing Malifaux longer than I played Malifaux. And I doubt that was his first game. What do you think drives that level of focus and obsession about something? Is there anything that you think that that drives that? And do you see that in other aspects of his life or his friends' lives?
I don't know if you're into this game, if it leaves that much time for any other things. But I mean, somewhat. Kyle's just mainly into games and into like fantasy series, like books or TV shows. Like he likes the ones that are, you know, like a long saga versus more one-off things. So maybe in that way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Alex?
I would put them into two categories. I would say that you do have your stereotypical gamers. So if you said gamer to someone, that I feel like that kind of maybe 30-something-year-old man, if you get what I mean, goes to the comic book store. I do think you have those gamers, but then I think in the other half, from my experience with the people that I've met through Tom, through game, is that it takes all sorts. I've met like 20-something-year-old science teachers, but then Tom is also friends with a guy who is in the military who also plays these games, and then there's his best mate Paul, who's, you know, like a scouser who sort of has worked in finance. And I feel like sort of there are the stereotypes, but then I think it's something about the game appeals to different people. I don't know whether it's the gameplay or whether certain game systems attract them. Like if you really like Harry Potter, there's Harry Potter. If you like Lord of the Rings, there's Lord of the Rings, and you get into it that way. I know for Tom, I'm sure that he had Warhammer, I think it was, when he was younger, he had all those models. And so he kind of left that and it developed into like a video game interest, which he still has. We were playing Uncharted 4 before. And then sort of as he kind of got older and started the YouTube channel and met Paul, then it kind of developed more into these different games. I think it takes all sorts, really. I think you have to kind of look at, you know, how people got into it to understand what their interest is in it, really. I mean, because like I said, I have played these games and my connection into it is Tom.
So question for you, Alex, do you think that there's something that Tom really kind of a muscle that he flexes when he games, right? So something mental that really that he uses in gaming that you also think makes him good at something else outside of gaming? So is there any crossover benefits in your mind? So is there an aspect of what makes him a gamer that you see in other aspects of his life and you think it's beneficial?
He's very good at winning.
so helps.
I'm very competitive, and Tom is not as competitive, or is not as vocal as I am about competitive. I'm very like, if it's not going well, I make it known, which is not a great character trait, but it's there. Tom's very good at sort of like he can adapt. So if he's not doing something well to begin with, he'll keep going at it. It took him a while to get his head around Malifaux. I know he was reading all like different things about it, and now he's really, really good at it. And that is it, what he's like. We could go bowling and I can beat him the first two games, and then he will absolutely smash me the next six. that's just what I've gotten used to. So I think he's just, I think he's quite logical, and I think that's what he likes about the games, that there's a kind of rules and regulations, and that you sort of, you play within those rules and regulations, but it's fun at the same time. Yeah, so I think he's, I don't know, it's kind of like, because his gaming seems so kind of separate, you know, and mm-hmm. I know he's an amazing teacher, but I don't see him teach. I just assume that he's amazing because that's, that's what I think. But yeah, I just think he sort of is quite logical about how you should do things. And I think that stems a lot into the game, and that there's a kind of, there are rules and there's a right and wrong way of playing. And I know he gets frustrated if he gets something wrong. You know, if he watches back and he's editing and he's like, oh, damn it, I've just realized that we did that and we shouldn't have done that. So I think that kind of plays into the way he thinks a lot about life, is that, you know, he should be doing things a certain way. And sometimes if it doesn't, you know, then he likes it that way. But
Alex, would you consider Tom obsessive?
No, not really. Out of the two of us, I would say that I'm more obsessive. I can get very deeply into things and then put them aside quite easily. And then I think Tom's actually sort of like, when he gets into something, he always kind of says, but I know that if I wanted to, then I could just put this aside if I needed to. So I don't think he's that obsessive, but I can understand that being a trait that is consistent in other gamers as well.
Well, I think there's a distinction. It sounds like Tom is in the latter, which is there's obsessive and there's focused, right? It sounds like Tom can be very focused, and that is something that, you know, shows up as him as a gamer and maybe potentially outside of as a gamer, right? Where he can say, hey, I'm going to focus on this. I'm going to get better at this. I'm going to learn this, which is different than being obsessive. Mm. Paris, do you consider Kyle having an obsessive personality?
When it comes to this game, I think, yeah, more obsessive than not. I mean, I know, like if he has a bad game, it takes a while to cool off from that. It not forever, but he'll definitely be annoyed or be in a bad mood for a while. But not so in other parts of his life. So like overall, I wouldn't consider him a super obsessive person, but I think mm-hmm. when it comes to this game, definitely.
Andrew, does any of this sound familiar to you?
It all sounds super familiar. Although you don't get upset if you lose a game.
That's because I lose a lot.
Well, habit. But even in any other game, right? Like anything else we play, which is probably to say, because he wins so often, that every once in a while a loss is just not that terrible. I do think that logical reasoning thing that Alex is talking about applies to you very much. Like Craig will read, like he gets a game, and then it's like, I won't see him for 2 hours because he needs to read the rule book and he needs to understand. He needs to go back and he does like a practice game and he looks at it and he and then he'll rearrange everything, right? So he'll take all the pieces and put them in a Ziploc baggie and label the baggie. He'll take all the dice, put it in a Ziploc baggie, label the bag. Like it's very methodical. And I do think you do have a little bit of OCD when it comes to kind of setting stuff up your way. And I don't think it's specific to gaming. I think you let like your obsessive flag fly with gaming a little bit more than you would do it anywhere else. I also think I'm also really interested in this question. And the reason we talked about it is because this is people are going to be very shocked by this. Craig is one of the most introverted people ever. And I am not. I'm a very extroverted person, which makes for a super fun marriage for him, I'm sure. I always wonder if like that's where introverts are kind of able to get like a social fill, and they still need to recharge at the end. But it kind of fires on so many different levels that it feels like, it feels like the right way to be social, if that makes sense, or the right way to get that social interaction. And I know that's true for Craig. I know that, that getting out of the house, like, and like just going to hang out at a bar isn't fun for him, but like playing 4.5 hours with 6 people or 5 people or whatever is like great for him. And he loves it. He doesn't come back like socially drained or really tired. You know, he definitely comes back tired, but I'd say more invigorated. which I don't get, because I would be like, to me, that takes so much brain power that it would be very exhausting. So that's that, and I think that's kind of what we started talking about. It was like, is it like, it's like extroverting for introverted people, almost, gaming, and making that, like, being able to make that connection, but around something that's very structured and very, it doesn't require a lot of, like, actual, like, sharing or talking, but you're still, like, you're strategizing. I'm guessing now at this point, like, now I'm just really guessing. But you're strategizing, you're talking about stuff, and you're moving things forward and you're moving things back. So you're still fulfilling kind of a scratching, like a social itch, but not, you know, peopling, if that makes sense.
I agree with that. Like, Tom's social interactions are gaming. And that's mm-hmm. Works perfectly for him, because that's what he loves doing. I'm the same, really. I have my group of friends, but kind of like, they're sort of married with kids, and they're at that point in their life where we don't go out, and I wouldn't want to go out anyway. We're very tired, Alex. I know, and I completely understand that. And I myself, the thought of going out anywhere, sort of no. So both me and Tom are quite home bodies, in the sense of that if we're going out, we will go out for lunch, or we'll go out for a meal, and then we'll be back. Like, we went out for our anniversary. I think we were home by 9 with our pajamas on. That was great mm-hmm. for us. But I think for him, the game, and that's his social interaction. And he's made some amazing friends, particularly through Malifaux as well, in the last sort of 6 months that he's been doing it, because he goes to sort of like a club somewhere to play it, and he's met like loads of really lovely blokes who also play it. And I think that's sort of, you know, like you said, it's he's not an extroverted person, but in those situations, it allows those people makes them sound like there's something wrong with them, those people.
You people.
But it kind of that's where they're comfortable, because it's that kind of, they're within their own sort of safe space, in a way where they can just interact how they interact, because it's all about the game, but there's that social aspect to it. So I agree with that. I think it's a social thing for them that they just love doing. So.
Yeah, I agree too. So I moved to Des Moines first, and then Kyle moved a year later. And the first thing he did was set up a gaming group. And that's pretty much how he made, pretty much all of the friends that he has now. And so it's a great way to connect with people. And, he's not really the type to just like go to a bar and like chit chat. Like, that's not, he's just not especially interested in that. Not that he's antisocial, but you know, that's, I don't think that's like especially fulfilling for him. So he likes to have people over and play games. And so that it was a really great way for him to meet people here. And also, like, since he does the podcast, I think he sees himself as sort of an ambassador in a way. So he wants to get more people into it. And that's part of why it takes him so long when he's going out to like a tournament or whatever, is he sees himself as like needing to be like the teacher and teaching new people. So I think he enjoys that aspect of it for sure.
Now, when Andrea talks about me being an introvert, you know, the classic, for those of you listening who aren't familiar with it, you know, people typically think of introverts versus extroverts, as introverts are people that don't like having social interactions, and extroverts do. But that's really not what defines them, right? So what really defines the difference between an introvert and an extrovert is how they recharge their batteries. So where my wife is an extrovert, and where she gets charged up, where she gets energy, is interacting with other people. So having conversations, being connected with other people and talking and spending time with other people, that's where my wife gets energy. Versus me, who is an introvert, I get my energy from being alone, and being able to charge my batteries with time, you know, being alone. Part of the reason the gaming has worked for me is because I can paint. I can read rules. I can do things like that. And it's a misnomer that, and that's why I think it was, you know, Andrew said people will be surprised Craig's an introvert, is because I can be, if you've ever seen me in a social situation and I host a freaking podcast, for crying out loud, I can do the social thing, right? I can turn that on, but it's incredibly draining for me. It takes a tremendous amount of energy. And I'd be curious to know, Alex, is that really kind of where Tom falls, do you think? Where does Tom get his energy?
I don't think I could say. He's definitely not an extrovert, but he's not an introvert, because I don't think you can be as a teacher, because mm-hmm. your day is literally putting on a show for the kids. That's good. You know what I mean? That's sort of what it is. But I know that sort of when we get home from work, we'll have like our time together, and I'll cook tea and we'll have like a couple of hours, but then we do kind of go our separate ways. And that's, like you said, when Tom will sit and he'll do some painting, or he will look at some of the literature for whatever game he's in at the moment, or he'll do some editing. So I think it's sort of, that's kind of, he likes to have his chill time. Or he'll play like Pez on the football game on the PlayStation. So he sort of, that's kind of where he kind of gets his energy, because I think for both of us, you're in front of people all day talking. So you need to, for me, it's kind of like, you know, I'll sort of watch things on Netflix, or I'll sort of be doing things on my phone, or or like I'm sort of like Andrew and Perissa, they like cooking. I love cooking. So like, that's my therapy. To like cook a meal. That's why I like being off on holiday, because I can actually cook proper meals, not just things that when I get home. But yeah, I think sort of, yeah, Tom has those moments and he likes those moments, and I understand he needs those moments as well, you know, because both of us do the same job. So
yeah. Paris, do you and Kyle have different ways of getting energy and recharging the batteries, or are you guys pretty similar? Sounds like Alex and Tom are similar and how they kind of recharge their batteries. How about you two?
Yeah, I'd say we're pretty similar. I mean, Kyle's a little more social than I am. But yeah, like if he doesn't get his time alone to game and to do whatever he's doing with the game, he'll be very, very cranky. And I know that having that Sunday, because Sunday mornings, like right now, he's with his friends. They have a standing coffee date to play games. Like if he skips that, like he really doesn't like doing that. It's really important for him to have that regular interaction over games.
Yeah, well guys, this was really insightful. And I think what was neat about it was to learn that there's a lot of overlap for the three of you. There's a lot of things that I think the three of you both experienced together, but there was some uniqueness about it there. And what I'm hoping for the listeners is it gives them a little bit more insight on, you know, the other side of the relationships that they're in, because it, you know, like we said several times, being a miniature gamer and being a tabletop gamer is very, very time consuming, and it takes up a lot of time. And the better we are at negotiating and being successful in managing that, I think the happier we will be. So to close out, Andrew, what is the top level message that every gamer listening to needs to hear right now to be better at being in a relationship?
I'd say there's two, which is just manage your space, right? Like be really conscious of your space and somebody else's space, because I think it's really easy to just overflow with all the things, you know, you get. And then be really, really communicative about the time and the real time, not like it's only take an hour, when it will really take three, but you don't want to make the other person upset. It's just being really, really clear about time and setting priorities for the person in your life. I think that's probably the most important.
Paris, what is your best advice you can give to all the listeners?
I'd agree. Just putting a priority on your relationship and making it clear, like when you'll have time together and what space the other person will have, and negotiating that is very important. And also, I think, as someone who doesn't game at all, I think it's important for the other person to communicate like what makes them happy and what their successes are. Cause like, I know Kyle's like really happy when his podcast has so many listens or that sort of thing. So it's important to like share your successes so the other person can be happy for you, because like, I don't know what like a good day in gaming is, or what, you know, a win is there. So he has to share that with me so I can be happy for him.
Yeah. How about you, Alex? What's the best advice you can give?
Balance is key. I think if you know ahead that you are going to have to do recording or you're playing games, that you have to be aware that this other person in your life wants to spend time with you, and you know, there's got to be that balance. If you know that one weekend you're going to do a load of recording, then the next weekend you need to keep that free, you know, because we just want to spend time with you. That's all. And I think for space, I think you have to be aware that if you are sharing a space, that, you know, sometimes when it is overflowing, we're not always going to be happy about it. That doesn't mean we're mad at you and we want you to stop it and kind of give it up and burn it all in the back garden. it just sort of, you know, this is our home and, you know, we want our home to be nice. And so sometimes that means not having loads of stuff everywhere. I mean, like I said, I'm very lucky in the sense that Tom does limit it to the one room, not a floor.
hey, yeah, careful.
Just be aware that, you know, like if it's your house and it's your space, that's one thing. But if you've chosen to sort of share your space with someone and, you know, invest in a property together and live together, then it's shared space. And, you know, you just, it's a home first, a gaming place second.
Nice. Yep. Very, very, very true. Well, guys, thanks again. I really appreciate it. I will make sure that Tom and Kyle don't listen to this episode. So you guys,
don't tell us any of the negative comments.
Yeah, don't read any of the comments on the Facebook page or anything like that. For those of you that are listening, I appreciate you making it all the way to the end. Everybody take care.
Be sure to check out our shop on thirdfloorwars.com for the latest gaming apparel and gear. While you're there, check out how the USFO Tour is shaping up. How does your conference compare to the others in the United States? Where do you rank nationally? Get those models built, painted, and on the table so we can see you at the US Masters Invitational in October of 2020. Also, rate and write a review on this podcast for us. It really helps us find people almost as cool as you are. Thanks for listening.
Howdy friend, Craig here. Is this episode making you realize you need to buy some models? Gadzooks Gaming is my favorite online retailer because of their large selection, killer prices, and great customer service. Don't you hate buying an entire crew box when you only need one model? Gadzooks sells crew box models individually and saves you a ton of money. They even have free shipping to the US and Canada if you spend $100 or more. Swing by GadzooksGaming.com and make sure you tell them Craig from the Third Floor sent you. All the details are in the show notes.
Hey.
That was good, guys. That was good.
You guys are way nice, man. You could be married for like 10 years.
The only thing, and you guys did a little bit of it, but I'd love more of it, is don't wait for me. You know, if Andrea says something that resonates or, Paris, if you, you know, you hear something that you say, oh yeah, that makes sense. And don't be afraid to ask each other questions either. The sooner the audience doesn't hear my voice, the happier I'll be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. All right. What I'll do is I'll bring us back and I'll set it up. Actually, quick question. Alex and Paris, do you guys live together? Not with each other, but with, okay.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, so I want to make sure I set up the space thing correctly.
Can I ask, can I go to the bathroom real quick?
That's it. Nope, you're done. Hang up. Yeah, hurry up.
It took so long to set up.
I could do with the loo as well, to be honest with you.
Well, let's still, you guys come back when you're done.
All right,
you're
right back.
All right.
I had to, like, semi-make our bed, I feel like. Good Lord. We live like savages.
Although I do like the fact you got a blanket the same as me.
Oh, yeah. Our room is freezing. And Craig actually bought me for Christmas this, like, it's like a hoodie. It's like a blanket hoodie sweater. It's called the Comfy. And I work from home, and I work in our bedroom is terribly insulated, and it's chilly, and it's like usually 5 degrees colder than the rest of the house. So. So yes, I'm curled up in a blanket, and I've made it look like we don't live like savages. So,
all right, guys, I'm gonna bring us back. And Alex, I probably will throw to you first. Mm-hmm. But like I said, Paris and Andrea, don't be afraid to jump in and continue the conversation.